Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Any donation that you make to the Bald-Faced Truth Foundation today is matched up to $12,500. So know that your donations are having great impact. Can we get an update? Are the Blazers-Sixers tickets gone?
Yeah,
gone.
I sold the three seats in row K, $400 donation from Brandon Sauer.
Awesome. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate you. I've got another one I'm going to do as well. I got the same deal. Two seats in row L, section 101, center court again. Three seats in row K, section 101. Here's the game. Here's the game, guys. It's the Blazers Nuggets, November 23rd. Here's what I want. $350 for the lot of two seats and $450 for the lots of three seats. Both include parking. 503-417-7575, $350. For two seats, center court, row L, section 101, Blazers Nuggets, November 23rd, and three seats for $450. Same seats as before, row K, right in front of row L. These are great seats, center court. Peter, I think you've sat in these seats. Pretty good?
Oh, yeah, very, very nice. Dead center, John.
All right, $350 for the two seats in row L, $450 for the three seats in row K. Blazers Nuggets game, 503-417-7575. We'll be doing these Blazer tickets throughout the show. So if you don't get, if you miss, like everybody just missed on the Sixers tickets, don't worry, sit tight. We've got more and we have other games, but grab what you can grab. Our next guest is the sports director, KSL.com, and a friend of this show and does a hell of a job covering all Utah sports. Josh Furlong joining us. You can read him on KSL.com. You should be following him on Twitter as well. Josh, thanks for making time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What is Utah playing for here? I'm wrestling with this game. You know, how meaningful is this game? You've got your finger on the pulse of those guys. Are they locked in? Are they looking you in the eye? Is this game meaningful to them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think this game means a ton to them. They remember what happened in that 2019 Pac-12 championship game. There's not a lot of people left over from that team, but there's enough. But it's a funny dynamic because you've got these guys, you know, the team that are preparing for this game as if, you know, this is the last game that they're ever going to play. And then you've got a fan base that's kind of stuck in between of whether they want to lose this game and beat them in the championship because they always say that, you know, it's tough to beat a team twice. Or, you know, is it best to let Oregon win out and maybe Utah gets to the Rose Bowl in a different way? I don't know. So it's a weird kind of construct coming into this game. The players are focused on winning. I mean, I don't think they care about all that stuff. They want to win. They want to be able to do what they can to beat Oregon and clinch the South. You don't want to ever leave it to that last game of the week where, you know, Colorado could play spoiler to Utah's South Division hopes. So I don't know. I think, you know, Oregon's got their full attention, and, you know, I would be surprised if anybody's kind of overlooking this game.
Josh, let me ask you, because it is, like, it's an interesting opportunity for Utah because, you know, whoever wins the Pac-12 championship game is going somewhere big. Utah could still end up in the Rose Bowl somehow, but, you know, this is a team that looks very different to me right now than it did a month ago and 6 weeks ago. What has happened to transform this Utah team?
I think a lot of it has to do with Cam Rising. And I know, you know, putting stock into one player is kind of tough, but at the same time, there's something different about Cam. Even when he came here a few years ago when he was on the scout team waiting for his time and the NCAA requirements to let him play, you know, there was something about him that even Kyle Whittingham, when he talked about him, he kind of got a little smile on his face just talking about him. There's something about him that just resonates with the players, whether you're on defense or on offense, that he allows them to kind of just play confident. You saw that if you watched Utah play in the San Diego State game where he was inserted, you know, midway through the game, third quarter-ish. All of a sudden, the offensive line decided to learn how to protect. You know, and I don't want to put that all on Charlie Brewer, who was their quarterback before them, but there was just a different style of play where everybody was kind of playing the way that they were supposed to. You know, Cam's a great dynamic quarterback, but he's a better leader. He's a guy that holds people accountable, but is always there talking to people and making sure that they, you know, they know that he cares about them wherever they're playing. And so I think that mixed with a little bit of changing up the offensive line and trying to get some more consistency there, that's helped a ton in Utah's ability to be able to kind of hit the ground running and really do well, especially on the offensive side of the ball where they're kind of carrying the team at this point. You know, Utah's always known for their tough defense, but when you have a bunch of freshmen that are lining, making up a lot of those key positions, it makes it tough. And so there's going to be some problems. But the offense has carried its way, and I honestly think that that has to do a lot with Cam Rising.
Josh Furlong is our guest, sports director, KSL.com, beat reporter, covers Utah football and basketball, among other things. You also have a vote in the AP Top 25. It's not often we get to talk to a voter. Give us an idea. Are you hearing from fans across the country who know you have a vote? How much pressure? Like, do you have a process for that? How does that go down?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what's going on. I think, you know, my picks this year have been fairly consistent with what the consensus vote's been. And I don't try to do that. It's not like I'm trying to vote towards the consensus. I think it's just kind of lined up that way. If anything, I hear most from opposing fan bases in the state, mostly BYU, just because they hate Utah and they think that I'm, you know, kind of trying to tear them down. But I hear from time to time from other fan bases. You know, there's a lot of people that don't like that I have Ohio State above Oregon, you know, and I think they're fully reasonable to think that. And you know, I go back and forth on that all the time. Obviously, head-to-head results matter, and, you know, we're hearing a lot of that with the Michigan State stuff that's going on with the college football playoff rankings. For me, you know, I try to look at it as the head-to-head, but also kind of the tone of where teams are playing. I think Oregon has played well, and I think they've done a lot of good things, and they're able to be, you know, in that top five rankings area. And I go back and forth with whether that win over Ohio State is the best. Obviously, you know, you didn't have your best player, so that gives you an extra advantage there. I just think, by and large, Ohio State's maybe played a little bit more consistent, even though you could make some arguments that they haven't. So that's kind of just where I've been at. That's kind of one that I've gotten recently where people aren't too happy with it. But for the most part, I try to look at overall stats, see where teams are, kind of see where the trend is for that team. How are they beating teams? What's going on that way? So I kind of try to take a whole different approach to it, not just focus solely on head-to-head, but knowing that matters quite a bit.
Josh, the health of the Utah offensive line, let's talk. I mean, the offensive and defensive line seems to go hand-in-hand at Utah. You know, can you maybe speak to what you see happening on the offensive line first, and then let's talk about that D-line, because historically the defensive line and the run D is started with that front seven at Utah.
Yeah, on offense, I think, you know, they're a little banged up. On the very last drive of Utah's game against Arizona, Paul Miley, their center that they've put in there recently, he came off and had to be kind of taken off on crutches at the very end of the game. So I don't know what his status is, and Kyle's kind of being a little quiet on that. He doesn't like to play the injury game, so he's not speaking to it. But other than that, I think Utah's going to be pretty healthy on the offensive line, at least with what they've got. They've moved Nick Ford over to that left guard position. He's been playing center up until the last three games. And since they've done that, they've actually done really well. They've been able to run the ball very effectively. But I think if Paul Miley's not available, they're going to have to move Nick inside and center again. And then you might get Keaton Bills back. And if they're able to do that, I think Utah has a fighting chance to be able to at least have an offensive line that's going to keep them protected. If, you know, Keaton Bills and Paul Miley are out, that's going to be a little difficult. So that'll be something definitely to watch. So I think not everything's in the clear for Utah, at least in the injury side on the offensive line. But I think they're trending in a better position than maybe people were expecting after that Arizona game.
Josh, on
defensive, go ahead.
No, you go. Talk
defense. On defensive line, I think the defensive line is they're always recruiting to that same stout style of play that they've always run, but they're just inexperienced there. I mean, they've got two freshmen that are starting there, especially one on the edge, Van Fillinger. He's phenomenal. I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of things from him in the years to come, but he's still learning those assignments. He's still trying to learn how to, you know, get an edge on on the offensive line and really, you know, get home to the quarterback. But you do have Mika Tafua that is able to kind of give you that traditional Utah attack where you're just beating guys down until, you know, they get to a sack or something, and, you know, you're rushing that quarterback really fast. So it's not your traditional line that you're probably seeing out of Kyle Whittingham just because they have an experience. But I think they've got enough guys that they're deep enough that they can do some stuff. It's just a matter of being able to be assignment sound. And that's really where it comes down to, is being assignment sound and making sure that they're not missing any of those tackles, which it honestly comes down to a game-by-game basis. So
this fan base, this program, the players, they've been through hell. I mean, there have been two deaths. There have been setbacks. It's just been emotionally draining. How has that factored in their season, Josh? Because they are a little bit up and down.
Are you talking the players? Are you talking the fan base? Or
Here's another thing that listeners would, you know, you wrote a piece about your 9-year-old who was a huge Ty Jordan fan. And, you know, you had to sit down and, you know, kind of talk to your kid about, hey, you know, you know, your favorite player passed away and here's what happened. And I mean, these are tough conversations and it's real life stuff.
Yeah, honestly, like, I think, you know, that's something that people aren't really getting to see, right? That human impact that this really is put on this team. It's hard to kind of classify the Ty Jordan one just because we were all over Zoom and we weren't able to really get a sense of how hard this impacted the team. I mean, you can get the sense and you know how it is. But this Aaron Lowe, once that happened, I mean, it was just devastating. You see, you know, a hardened coach like Kyle Whittingham just on the verge of, you know, crying every time he brings it up, because it's just like, you know, it's his job to protect these players and he lost another one. These players have suffered a lot. It's one of those things that I'm quite honestly amazed that we're at this point right now where they're, you know, in contention for the South, that they've won all the games and lost one in Pac-12 play since it's happened. You know, I think what they've been able to do is pretty remarkable, and I think you're starting to see their leadership to show. I talked to one player the other day. You know, I asked him about it. I said, is this still hard on you? And, you know, he said, well, of course it is. You know, this is still hard, but, like, I can't think about it. You know, in a lot of ways they've had to kind of push this memory and all these different things behind them, and it's tough, you know, but their job is to play football, and that's kind of what they're taking upon them right now. And I think the way that you're seeing Utah honor, you know, Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe in the game, if you get an experience to be able to see it in between the third and fourth quarters, if you're coming out to Oregon or the Oregon-Utah game, you know, they have this moment where it used to be called the moment of loudness, because Ty Jordan never got fans, so they wanted to kind of give him an opportunity to get that. But now they've converted it a little bit to smile, because that's who Aaron Lowe was. And so they've kind of blended this thing together that is just an emotional thing that it really rallies that team. So in the fourth quarter, whatever's happened in that game, you're going to get that team's best effort. And it's just because you can tell that, like, it kind of gives them that resurgence of power and an ability to focus on what really matters, even though the football game is in front of them. So it's been tough for everybody. I think you're seeing a lot of that. But I think, you know, this has been kind of a driving force for this team who really is playing for themselves and playing for their teammates that they've lost.
We're talking to Josh Furlong, KSL.com. Josh, your pick for the game. Who do you like?
Ooh, I've gone back and forth so many times. I think I tweeted it the other day that I'm honestly just going to do a coin flip, because, you know, I was there at that 2019 championship game. Utah had all the momentum. By all means, Utah should have beat Oregon in the sense of what it was on paper, right? And then Oregon came in there and just devastated them. They just, you know, beat them at every part of their game. And so, like, it's hard for me to sit here and think that anything's going to go as to script. I mean, Oregon comes in as the number 3 team, and Utah's 23, and yet Utah's favored. And I know it's just a field goal at home, so in a lot of ways that's a push them. But, like, there's enough at play here where both of these teams look so much like each other in a lot of ways that I think it's just going to come down to whoever can make the big plays, you know, and try to keep within their own system as much as they can. You know, I don't know. Like, if you were to tie me down and try to force me to pick, I still don't know if I could pick one today.
I had a hard time with it. I eventually I'm going to give my score later, but I eventually picked Oregon in a really close game. But I had a hard time with this one. I don't normally flip-flop back and forth, and I did all week.
Yeah, this one's tough. I honestly think it'll be a close game, a 3-point victory of some sort. like I said, I could flip a coin, and I think I'd probably feel confident in whichever yeah. one I got.
All right. I will see you in the press box. I appreciate you joining us, Josh, and thanks for sharing your story. And for people who follow Josh on Twitter, check out his piece on his nine-year-old and, you know, rooting through a pandemic. You've got it pinned to the top of your Twitter profile. It's fantastic. Thanks, Josh, for sharing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Josh Furlong, KSL.com. He's the sports director and reporter there. We'll give our picks coming up. I've got another offer. First of all, I want you to go to BFTauction.com if you want to check out any of the auction lots that are available and are out there. Anna, what is currently showing as available and out there? Like, you know, highlight something.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because the bids really are coming in. There's Blazers courtside center court tickets that are available. Yeah, so you can
that's row one.
Live big. First pitch, a VIP adventure with the Hillsboro Hops. There's a couple items that have sold. So there's a guided fishing trip on the Willamette or the Columbia, but the company, All About Adventure Excursions, has generously donated a second package. So a guided fishing trip for two. You can fish for salmon or, you know, walleye, whatever it is that you would like. Another one that's interesting that's got bids coming in is you being on TV with Grant McComey.
That's
everybody
a big
in
one.
The market
yeah.
knows Grant McComey and that amazing broadcast voice of his. He will feature you and include you on one of his Grant's Getaways adventures, which, of course, is filmed for his show, which is on KGW. So that would make an awesome Christmas present for somebody to be like, hey, guess what? You're going Grant McComey on a getaway, and you get to be on TV as well.
Check those out at BFTauction.com if you want to see those online auction items. All right, I've got another incentive to offer here. I have three seats, row K, center court, Blazers Nuggets, November 23rd. That's section 101, center court. I want $400 donation, gets you three seats. That's $133 a seat if you're doing math at home. $400 gets you three seats. And by the way, for $400, we're sending a class on a field trip. So you can feel good about going to the Blazers Nuggets game and taking advantage of those three seats in row K. I also have two seats in row L, section 101, I want to thank Hogan Davis Manufacturing for their donation of these seats. But Detroit Pistons against the Blazers on November 30th. I've got two seats in row L and two seats in row J. The seats in row L include parking. The seats in row J do not. But here's what I want. I want just $200. Gets you two seats. It's $100 a seat to see the Blazers and the Pistons on November 30th. 503-417-7575 is the number. We'll do this all show long. Want you to go to baldfacetruth.org and make tax-deductible donations as well. Your donations are matched up to $12,500. So just know $1 equals two. Leave it here. You got the BFT. I appreciate everybody who is opening their heart, opening their wallet today. Kids of the BFT Foundation end up big winners on a day like today. Great, great interview with Josh Furlong from Salt Lake City, KSL.com. He does a great job covering Utah sports. Peter Sampson, you got a shout out for a donor.
Yeah, I have to shout out Brad. I'm not going to really identify him because I don't know if that's kosher. But he gave $1,000. He didn't need tickets. He didn't need a shoe mill. He wants to save that for other people. I just got to shout him out just for doing something good for the kids.
Appreciate you, Brad. I appreciate those of you out there that want to help out. All right, so the lot of three Pistons tickets is off the board. Judah Newby, correct me if I'm wrong. I still have...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.